Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 8. This is the reading of God's word. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them. And they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. And he said, Write, for these words are faithful and true. Then he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the springs of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that through your word, you teach us the truth. We see Jesus Christ and what he has done and what he has accomplished through your word. Oh Father, grant us an ear to hear your word, so that as we hear your word, that our faith will truly grow. And with that growing faith, let us love you more and more and witness Jesus Christ and the heavenly reality that he has accomplished for us. Oh Father, that by your grace that the word will be preached correctly and that your people will hear your word and believe and obey, to bring glory and honor to you. Oh Father, pour out your blessings upon us and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Finally, we come to Revelation chapters 21 and 22. Only two more chapters to go, and after we finish the book of Revelation, we'll go to the 1 Samuel. So maybe you will start reading 1 Samuel. Well, we read from verse 1 through 8, and we'll spend about 4 weeks on these verses. And today, it's going to be concentrated on verse 1 and 2, and the next time it will be verse 3. These two chapters are not only the end of the book of Revelation, but they are the end of the whole Bible that began at the book of Genesis. In Genesis, we saw at the beginning, God has created the heavens and the earth. But here in Revelation, we now read about the new heaven and the new earth. In Genesis, we saw God creating sun, the moon, and the stars. But here in Revelation, chapter 21, verse 23, we read, And the city, heaven, has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. In Genesis, we saw the Garden of Eden, But here in Revelation, we see eternal heaven, which the Garden of Eden was pointing to. In Genesis, we saw Satan tempting Adam and Eve, but here in Revelation, we see the eternal destruction of Satan. In Genesis, we saw Adam and Eve being kicked out of the presence of God for their sins. But here in Revelation 21, verse 3, we read, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them." In Genesis, we saw the way to the tree of life being blocked off because of sin. But here in Revelation 22, verse 2 and verse 14, we read, "On either side of the river was a tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city." In Genesis, we saw God's curse upon the human race because of sin. But here in Revelation 22, verse 3a, there will no longer be any curse. In Genesis, we saw that because of sin, man has to sweat and toil. But here in Revelation, we see the eternal rest. Who has accomplished all of these? Well, the answer is very obvious to you. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Through his death on the cross and the resurrection, and the perfect life that he has lived for you and for me, he and he alone has accomplished all the eternal realities of heaven for his people. The book of Revelation, thus the whole Bible, ends with this eternal victory of our Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Revelation ends with the eternal reality of heaven, the eternal reality of our eternal salvation that our Lord has perfectly, eternally accomplished for us. The heaven, our eternal home, is the purpose of all God's redemptive works. You know, you may wonder, what is God doing? Well, look at Revelation 21 and 22. Everything that happens in this world, everything that God has done and doing and will do, is to accomplish, is to consummate this picture that you are looking at in chapter 21 and 22 of Book of Revelation. And it's a happy ending story that we're reading from the Bible. What is the reality of heaven, our eternal home? What is heaven about? And we're going to keep studying about this, especially next week. It's verse 3. That's the key, but we're going to wait. But from these two chapters, we see our eternal reality in heaven. What is true of heaven? Well, God as our eternal God, God as our eternal husband, verse 2, and God as our eternal Father, verse 7, God is with us, his people. That is what heaven is all about. That he is our God and we are his people. that he will dwell among his people and he will wipe away every tear from them. In other words, it is God and his people living together forever in loving and joyous eternal relationship. This is what heaven is all about. This is what our religion is all about. Christianity is not about do's and don'ts. Christianity is about our relationship with God. And not just any relationship, but perfect, loving, joyous relationship that we have with God. This is what our religion is all about. And that is the picture that we see in our passage. And before we begin, I need to remind you of this, because this is very, very important. That whatever you're looking at in chapters 21 and 22 is not only for your future. I mean, even if it was only for our future, we'd be so happy. But what the Bible teaches us that it's not just for our future, but it is our present spiritual reality. This is our reality of heaven that our Lord has accomplished, already accomplished for us. So, I want you to understand, and we're going to get to this more in detail next time, but when you think of heaven, when you think of salvation, think in terms of God with his people. That's why Jesus Christ is the perfect example of heaven. Because he himself is God and man dwelling together. That's what heaven is all about. When you look at Jesus Christ, he is 100% God, 100% man. Do you see it? Do you see the picture of heaven in Christ? That God and man dwelling perfectly, in perfect union, perfect harmony. That's what heaven is all about. First one. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. At the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, we will all, whether you believe or not, will all stand before God. And from chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, we have seen what happens to the non-believers at that time. And now from chapters 21 and 22, we will see what happens to the believers. We will see the eternal blessings of God that believers receive. The believers have already received spiritually. It's the new heaven and the new earth. Brothers and sisters, you have to understand this, that heaven is not just a continuation of this world. It's the new world. Now, you know, some politicians and some philosophers of this age talks about new order and new world. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about the eternal world that God has created for his people, that God has prepared. Heaven is not a continuation of this world. The first heaven and the first earth are passed away. Our passage tells us. So everything that you are looking at with your physical eyes right now, all this is passed away when the new heaven and new earth appears. Verse 5b, God says, "Behold, I am making all things new. All of this world and all the things in this world will pass away. There will be no more." Isaiah 65 verse 17, 4, "Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered or come to mind." No, we're not going to go to heaven and somehow, you know, recline at the Lord's table and talk about how it used to be here on the earth. No. Or what you did this or what we have done together. No. The former things will not even going to be remembered or come to mind. Because what we have in Christ is far greater than anything of this world. Not only will not come to mind, even if it will come to mind, you will not want to remember it. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up." And he says, "And there is no longer any sea." In the book of Revelation, as you and I have already seen, sea is the symbol of the realm of Satan and the realm of death. It is no more. No more sea. It doesn't mean that, you know, I don't know how heaven is going to be. I only know what the Bible shows me. I don't know if there's a beach and if you're, you know, you like surfing and stuff. Then, you know, this is bad news. No sea, you know. No, it's a symbolical language. And in the book of Revelation, sea was pointing to the realm of Satan. That's why the beast of Satan was coming out of the sea in the vision that John has seen. That sea is no more. The realm of Satan is no more. Nothing that is against God is in heaven. No more sin. Hey, I don't know about you, but man, I can't hardly wait until that moment. I want to feel how that is. You know, no sin. Because as long as I live here on earth, everything I do is tainted with sin. And the only way that I could get out of that sin is, of course, my faith in Jesus Christ. But still, there's sin. Even the best thought that I'm thinking, even the best act that I'm doing, is tainted with sin. But when that day comes, when I get to heaven, no more sin. Man, whatever I think, whatever I do, it will be apart from sin. Whatever I say, it will glorify God. Whatever I do, it will glorify God. Perfectly. Your sins and my sins will not be remembered. Even if someone tries to find our sins, he or she will not be able to find them. You and I will not sin anymore in heaven. All of the works of Jesus Christ in us will be completely and perfectly accomplished. The image of God. Do you remember? God has created in the image of God. That image of God will be perfected in us. When you see me in heaven, you're going to say what? When you see me. That's cute. When you see me, you're going to say, oh, how righteous, how perfect you are. Yes. That is who I am in heaven. That is how I am in heaven. Not because I am really like that, but because of what Christ has accomplished. That is why I am in heaven really like that. Can you just think about this? That God's image is perfected in me, in you. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Paul says, for I am confident of this very thing, so you should be also confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. That work is now finished, and you are perfect. That's what heaven is going to be. 1 John chapter 2, chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Yeah, whenever you're down, you know, so many people suffering from depressions these days. You know, here's your medicine. These verses. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. I don't know how this will come true, but it will come true. When I look at myself, there's no way I could say, man, I'm going to be just like Christ. But that is exactly what God promises me. That because he is working in me, and that work has already begun, and one day when I see him face to face, I will be just like him. I don't know how. It seems impossible. And yet, there's nothing that is impossible for God. And when he promises something, he has power to accomplish it, to fulfill it. And you and I, we are able to have confidence, a perfect confidence that this will be just as what it says. So, you know, when you look at yourself, I know, because I'm just like you, you are disappointed. But have hope in Christ. One day, you will be perfect, just like your Lord. That's his promise. And we're looking at that reality in chapter 21 of the book of Revelation. Second Peter chapter 1 verse 4. You know, this kind of verse just, this is kind of verse that you get up in the middle of night, you know, 3 in the morning, and you just bang your head upon the wall just to see if you're dreaming.
And you say, wait a minute, I'm not dreaming. This is true. It's that kind of verse. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. You are the partakers of the divine nature. That's who you are in Christ. That is how you are going to be forever and ever. There will be no more temptation. No more being carried away and enticed by our own lust. We will be able to love God perfectly. We will be able to love one another perfectly. No more sins, no more death, no more guilt, no more curse. This is what is true of us forever and ever in our eternal home, heaven. Christianity is not centered on do's and don'ts. What you need to do before anything, you need to believe. You need to believe what Christ has done, what he is doing, and what he will consummate when he comes. And that faith, by God's grace, that faith will make you grow. Not your effort, not anything, but that faith, by God's grace, will make you grow and grow in Jesus Christ. So, brothers and sisters, before you think, you know, you have to do this and you have to do that, I invite you to truly understand the gospel. Believe. And when you do believe, that faith will move you. The faith will enable you to live the way that God wants you to live. But it's always the faith. That's the center. That's the primary. Well, let's keep looking. Verse 2. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. Do you see yourself in this picture? You are the New Jerusalem. You are the new temple. You are the new city. You are the bride of God. There are many places in the Bible where God's people are described as a city, a holy city. God's people are set apart, completely and perfectly consecrated unto God. It is New Jerusalem, not the same as the earthly Jerusalem of this world. It is the new temple of God, the eternal temple of God, eternal dwelling of God. It is already true of you. Who lives in you? You are the eternal dwelling of God. And look at your picture. You know, some people, when they get married, you know, during the wedding ceremony, they take a lot of pictures. Somehow I couldn't find any of those pictures in my house. But you know, you do. We take pictures. And you know, when you look back to those pictures, you look at the bride. She is so beautiful. But this is far surpassing
Whatever you could think of how beautiful that is, you are so beautiful in God's eyes when that wedding day comes in heaven. You will stand right next to Him, being married to Him, and you're going to be so beautiful. This is who you are. Again, when you look at yourself, you say, no way, that's not me. I'm not even close to that. Yeah, that's also true. But believe what God promises you, that He is going to make you. And spiritually, He has already made you like this. That is what the gospel tells us. The new temple, new dwelling of God, not like the Tower of Babel that sinners built to reach heaven, but this city comes down out of heaven from God. It is a city that God Himself has prepared. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. The new temple is the true church of Jesus Christ. She is the bride of our Lord Jesus Christ. She is the bride that God loves dearly. You know, let me ask you a question. How far, you know, guys, but girls, you could put yourself in the guy's shoes. How far will you go? How far will you go for a wife that you love? What will you do to marry her? Is there anything that you are not willing? Our husband, eternal husband, Jesus Christ, how far did He go? Well, He came down to this earth. You know, if we're like measuring the distance, how far do you think is heaven from heaven to earth? Or it's not even heaven is a created place. So even before heaven was created, there's God and nothing else. From there, He comes to earth as a man. How far do you think that is? How far will you journey for a wife that you love? And not only He came to this world as a man, He conquered Satan and his army. He suffered and died, even abandoned by His own Father, just to prepare His bride for this eternal marriage. He washed her clean with His own blood. He clothed her with His own righteousness. And now she is a beautiful bride. You know why she is so beautiful? You know why you're so beautiful? You know? Go to 1 Peter. And you girls, listen very carefully here. And guys too, same thing. But listen very carefully. Chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 3. Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses. Now, you know, we're living in an era that I cannot only say this to girls anymore. I have to say it to guys because these guys want to be pretty too these days. That was a joke. But not everyone. Yeah. I should mention that not every one of you. Not any of you. I'm talking about people outside. All right. Yeah, because I want to shake your hand as I go out, not, you know, get attacked or something. All right, go. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, in former times, the holy woman also who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. You want to look pretty? Well, obey your husband. Yes, Ellie's outside. Seriously, how do you adorn yourself to look beautiful? Obey your husband. This is why you're going to be so beautiful in heaven, because you're going to obey your husband perfectly in heaven. And this is how we're going to be all beautiful in the sight of God. And I want you to look at one another in these terms. You know, when we look at those movie stars, you know, they're beautiful, but that's worldly beautiful. That's not how God sees beauty. And you should be just like God. Your beauty is not about your physical appearances. Because I don't care how beautiful you are physically, just give it about 70 years and see how it goes. It's not lasting. It's not forever. It's just temporary. It's not something you should be focused on. But being beautiful forever, this is what we're talking about. Especially being beautiful in the sight of God. You and I, we're going to obey God perfectly, so we are so beautiful. A beautiful wife, a wife adorned with her obedience. You and I are his bride. You and I are washed clean with his blood, and you and I are clothed with his righteousness. We adorn ourselves with our obedience to him. Yes, in Christ, we are indeed a beautiful bride of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is our eternal reality of heaven. Verse 3, which we will look at more carefully next time. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. We will look at this verse in detail next Lord's Day. Hell is being forever abandoned by God. Heaven is being forever with God. This is what our religion is all about. It is about living with God with joy forever and ever. God and man together forever and ever. And just like what I said, that's why Jesus is the perfect picture of heaven. And God is their God, it says. Therefore, it is not ashamed to be called their God. God is not ashamed to be called your God. You know, sometimes you could have brothers or sisters or even your mom or dad or whatever, your relatives, you are embarrassed about. They commit some stupid sins. And then you don't want to be known as that person's brother. But here it says, God is not ashamed to be called your God. And you know, if you guys really know what I'm thinking and what I do when no one's watching, what I, you know, if you are
just know completely about me. I mean, I don't even think you want to come near to me. You don't want to do anything to do with me. And I'm not just only person like that. Everyone, we all like that. And yet, God knows me perfectly. He knows how filthy I am. And this is what His amazing grace is all about. Even as He knows how filthy I am, He is not ashamed to be called Young's God, your God. God's covenant is completely accomplished. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 12, I will also walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. Ezekiel 37, 27, my dwelling place also will be with them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. All has been accomplished in Jesus Christ. And this husband, verse 4, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death, there will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. All curse is no more. No more death, mourning, crying, pain. Chapter 7 of Book of Revelation, chapter 7, verse 16 and 17. They will hunger no longer, nor thirst anymore, nor will the sun be down on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd and will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. Our eternal husband wipes away every tear from our eyes. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, are you tired? Are you weary? Are you suffering? Sometimes you feel like, man, there's no end to this. Endure just a little longer. Your pain, your sufferings, your difficulties are not forever. They will end. That's the message. They will end. And open your spiritual eyes to see your Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see Him coming to you, already come to you, and wiping your tears from your eyes even right now? That is your spiritual reality even now. Do you see Him wiping your tears? Even now, He is comforting you with His word. He is enjoying you. He loves you, and He just loves to be with you. This is your heavenly reality. What is the chief end of man? And you all junior and high school kids go, it is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. But my question to you today is, what is the chief end of God? It is to receive glory through us and to enjoy us forever. That is the chief end of God. And it is clearly shown to us in our passage. This is what God is doing. This is what His purpose is all about. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, this is our eternal heavenly reality that our Lord has already accomplished for you. Be happy, brothers and sisters. Be truly happy, for God is your God, and you are His people. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Amazing grace, amazing love, amazing God, amazing salvation. Oh, Father, we are so happy. We are so joyous. For in Jesus Christ, you are our God now and forever, and we are your people now and forever. Oh, Father, we thank you for wiping us our tears, comforting us with your word. Oh, Father, let us be able to endure with joy, no matter what sufferings, no matter what difficulties. For these things are not forever. For we see completely different world, the new world, the world in which we will be with you and you will be with us. No more pain, no more crying, no more curse, no more guilt, but just endless joy, endless happiness, God with us. Oh, Father, we thank you and we give you all the glory and honor and power. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.